Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I had to let that entrance kind of play a little bit so I can get my head around it.
This is off of Kendrick Lamar's new album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Did J-Dub really go with Kendrick Lamar?
We're learning something new every day as we welcome in Jimmy Watkins from the World Herald. You're a big Kendrick Lamar fan?
I've been living with that album the last couple days, guys. big hip-hop fan in general. So, yeah, whenever Kendrick drops, I plan my weekend around it.
Oh, Team Swag. Okay, put that on the board for something I did not know. I was kind of vibing over the break. I was like, hey, let this play for a second. Well done.
Yeah, it's a good album.
He's going to age well.
A lot to digest. Yeah, he is.
Very.
I don't know that he's capable of making a bad project at this point.
I have listened to a couple of the tracks. I mean, it's Kendrick Lamar raw, but the intro to United in Grief is pretty amazing.
That's shower music right there. Yeah. Let's get hype. Yeah.
It's unique. It's a different kind of project. The dude is basically in therapy for an hour.
Yeah. It's
different.
Yep. He sings what's going on in his head. Like he's close to a genius though.
He's great. We're lucky to have him.
Yeah, I think this is already his fifth album.
He's the man. Yep. I mean,
that's a quick amount of time. All right, Jimmy Watkins of the World Herald joining us. Kane Williams, your thoughts on his addition to what it does to an already crowded defensive back room, what it does and what it does to maybe some guys that are in that room that have been there for a while.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week a little bit. Travis Fisher's the kind of guy where even if he's satisfied with his room, he's never going to hesitate to add talent. The thing about Kane Williams that is worth pointing out that we did not talk about last week, though, is that he's a class of 2021 guy. He's a redshirt freshman. So his addition does not necessarily have to impact the depth chart immediately. With a guy of his pedigree and coming from Alabama, you would think that he would have the chops to maybe play right away. But he's got a long enough runway where it doesn't have to be that way. But certainly if there's it could be a guy who thought they were going to be playing this year and maybe isn't playing as much. It could be a guy who is building towards something down the road. They say, well, it's brought in an Alabama guy. Well, you know, what does that mean for me? It's certainly worth considering what else could be happening in that defensive backs room. And across the rest of the roster, because they're at the point now where if you bring in a guy, you have to also lose a guy. So that could be a medical red shirt. Scott Frost has said that Javon Wright has a unique injury situation. I don't know if that's not to say that he would be the guy, but something like that would be in play. We still don't really know what's happening with Xavier Betts. That could end up freeing up a scholarship. So we'll see.
Well, I think Betts officially being off the roster finally has maybe cleared some things up. But let me ask you this, Jimmy, because Sharpie and I didn't really see eye to eye on this one, but you kind of alluded to it a minute ago. If you're Kane Williams and you understand that there is a runway, doesn't mean you probably accept it. Do you think we know enough about what Lincoln may offer, because since he's talked about the commitment, that would lend yourself to believe why you would come to Lincoln if not to be playing in some sort of immediate role?
Yeah, I think this has Mickey Joseph written all over it. Kane Williams' stepfather is cousins with Mickey Joseph. Mm-hmm. They are from the same small town in Louisiana.
Marrero.
Yep, Marrero. And they, you know, Kane Williams, if you live in the South, if you're from Louisiana, you know the name Mickey Joseph, you know the kind of receiving talent he has churned out. So I think that has a good deal to do with it. Williams said that NIL did not play a factor in his decision because he needs to earn that on the field. I think that's a good answer. I also think it is impossible to ignore guys like Casey Thompson saying that starters are making six figures, and even guys like O'Shawn Mathis talking about the financial literacy that Nebraska can offer with the NIL program and the stuff that they can do to set you up long term. So there's a lot of – Mickey Joseph is an incredible recruiter for one, but there's also a lot of this new age recruiting stuff that I think Nebraska is doing pretty well. And I think that's helping them. We're seeing it help them in the market right now.
Go inside of that room, and you're in one of those chairs. And let's say you haven't had a lot of opportunities to get on the field, either by people in front of you because Nebraska sent some guys off to the NFL off this last year's roster, or you just haven't been able to move up. What do you think when you see activity, and you already know, man, I look everywhere, and I got all these scholarship defensive backs are hanging out with me. What are the true feelings if you're a third, fourth-year guy, haven't played much? What are the true feelings you're sensing from your position coach if he's dipping his toe into the portal and we're in the middle of May?
You know, ideally, I think coaches would tell you they'd love to see those guys embrace competition. You know, it doesn't matter who they bring in. I just got to do me. I think we all know the reality of it is that competition breeds jealousy, and it certainly turns some heads in that room. But, you know, a guy that, even though he didn't play at Alabama, an Alabama guy is joining our room now. That's more competition. That is certainly something I could definitely envision a scenario where if a guy was thinking about transferring and, you know, making the pros and cons list, maybe this is something that could push it over the edge. But again, I think that the culture in that defensive back room is really healthy. I think Travis Fisher is a guy who's going to run a defense someday. And I think he could, if there's any coach that I would choose to be able to pull off an Alabama transfer and maintaining all his guys, I would choose Travis Fisher. But I hear what you guys are saying. I don't think everyone in that defensive back room threw a celebration for this commitment today.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, because Sharpie brought him up earlier. There's obviously something going on with Omar Brown. That's a curious case because I don't think that's even health-related. You know, Noah Pola-Gates, you got to have his attention a little bit. There are some guys in that room that – and you'd think it'd have to be fairly early, Jimmy. It would be time to maybe pee or get off the pot. Omar may be a little different, but there are a lot of those guys, man, where it's kind of now or never.
Yeah, well, the other thing, though, is that, like, the transfer portal is – a lot of these rosters are getting finalized at this point, and you go now to a different school, have to potentially learn a different system. And, you know, they have to, at a certain point, would have to get a waiver to even be eligible next season. It's really complicated for some of these guys to leave. So maybe that's another reason that Travis Fisher felt comfortable bringing in another DB. It's like, hey, you guys can be mad at me all you want, but your options in terms of leaving are not great. So you might as well stick it out here and see what happens and embrace competition because – either, you know, you could, again, you can leave if you want, but you're probably not going to find what you want, what you think you're going to find out there at this point.
Jimmy Watkins from the Omaha World Herald joining us. Let's go to the other Alabaman that was on campus this weekend in defensive tackle Stephon Wynn. Isn't this strictly, as he's weighing Georgia Tech, Nebraska, potentially Texas Tech as well, isn't it in his case, doesn't it come down to a business decision? Where am I going to go play that I'm going to be successful, get enough tape that I could possibly get paid to play for a living at the next level?
I think you nailed it right there. He's got 1 year to go, 1 year of eligibility left. He did get on the field some at Alabama, but as we know, that is that's a crowded rotation. There's a ton of talent there. And I think that Nebraska, in that regard, offers a pretty good runway for him to do that because, yes, they added O'Shawn Mathis, but there's still a significant area of need in that interior defensive line. Even with the kid from Texas Tech, there are opportunities for him to play there. And you saw what guys like, you know, I mean, it's a undrafted signing isn't the sexiest thing, but, you know, Damian Daniels came a long way while he was here at Nebraska, and I think that you can point to a development story like that, even though Tony Tuioti is gone, and say, look, we've done this before with guys who weren't necessarily on NFL radars and ended up getting a chance at least. So I think Nebraska's got a pretty decent shot there. It can't hurt that his former teammate just committed either. But you're spot on. It's about the best move for his future, which means where can I put the most tape out there to NFL teams?
The Big Ten
in that regard matters too, because you could argue that the Big Ten has some of the best offensive linemen in the country year in and year out.
I'm going to get you off Nebraska here in a second, but let me ask you one more thing before we take advantage of your knowledge base here in its totality. If you're watching spring, you kind of know what you think you're getting. Spring happens. Now the portal has kind of done its thing for Nebraska. Has your attention changed from where it previously started on a coach or a position group that now has your attention that maybe didn't coming into spring?
I think there's no question that the defensive line has – the perception of the defensive line has to be recalibrated altogether. They came out of spring in a really dire spot, to the point where Casey Rogers, who is a nice player, as his offers since then will confirm, but a guy that I don't think Nebraska was planning everything around at the end of last season. I think a guy like Damian Daniels, DeAndre Thomas, I think they had plans for those guys. When his departure becomes as big a news as it was, and you got Ty Robinson out here saying, hey, please go get other guys. It's in a bad spot. I think if they end up with Wynn, you can argue that they're in a better spot than they were at the end of spring with Devin Drew and O'Shawn Mathis in the fold as well. I think now the attention shifts to that offensive line, which had some injuries during the spring, so we didn't really get to see it at full strength, but they did kind of get pushed around in the spring game.
Yeah, we kind of just assume they're going to be okay when they get healthy. You're all the way there yet.
Yeah, I don't know that we should be doing that. I mean, that was obviously a group that struggled last year, and then they looked good for one game, and it was against Northwestern. And how much of that is Northwestern being god-awful last year? How much of that is them figuring out a combination that worked? That combination lasted 5 minutes because Teddy Prochazka went down with the season-ending knee injury. I'm writing about him this week and about that knee. So that's where my eyes are now. I don't know that it's a portal addition situation. It's just an internal improvement situation and a Donovan Rayola situation. You know, he's the one coach they hired that didn't have the super long resume, right? The offensive coach that is sort of still unproven. So that's certainly where our attention goes now, and you tell me what kind of offensive line you get out of that group next year, I'll tell you how many games they're going
to
win.
Let's shift to Nick Saban. Had some fun over the weekend. He was asked a question. He said, I'd like to see more parity in college football. Well, he's the head coach of a program that has dominated college football for a while. He's in a conference that since 2006 has won 12 national titles. He's in a conference in the top 25 spenders on college football. 8 of them are from his conference. 10, by the way, are from the Big Ten. I'm trying to think of the word parity, and that was preached by Pete Rozelle. And we can see now, I don't know if it's necessarily parity in the NFL. You know, you do have a salary cap, but everybody's investing to try and win a Super Bowl. I think the investment to win is there in college football, but it's on different levels. Do you ever remember in this great sport, has there ever been what you would consider parity?
I would say no, and I think people that say that they want parity, including obviously Nick Saban, it behooves him to not have parity, are lying. I don't think they know they're lying, but I think when you have dynasties, historically, TV ratings spike during the postseason because people want to see the dynasty fall. They want to see the big bad wolf get beaten by Goliath, and when you have a situation where Alabama is going to be that team every single year, you can have that dynamic at play every postseason. Now, the tricky part in college football is that the parity has swung so far the other way, the lack of parity, mm-hmm. where we kind of just know, like, even the what's supposed to be the pinnacle of the sport, the college football playoff, we know those first two games are just kind of going to be duds, which is really disappointing. So I do think there needs to be some measure of parity insofar as, can we get four teams that are on the same level instead of two every year? Like, can Clemson reach its peak at the same time as Georgia and Alabama? Can Lincoln Riley turn USC into a program that's on that level? Because that's a bummer every year. But yeah, I think that, you know, the Golden State Warriors dynasty that we all thought was going to win was good for that sport. I think the Patriots have been good for the NFL. I think, to a point, Alabama's been good for college football. It gives people a brand to point to, and Nick Saban is a household name. You want household names in your sport. But yeah, I think, I don't know if we need parity in the sense that, oh man, that 16th team in a hypothetical 16-team college football playoff is just as good as three. I think that would get a little boring sometimes, but we do need four great teams that can play two competitive games every New Year's. We do need that.
If I'm going to spend a tedious amount of time trying to put toothpaste back in a tube, Jimmy, which one do you think would be easier to go back to an NIL model as opposed to pay for play, or to limit movement post a one-time transfer?
I think it's the portal, because that's the calendar. The calendar is easy to control. Boosters are borderline impossible to control because they have more money than the people who are trying to control them. And because of that, they have more power than the people who are trying to control them. There are always going to be, even if they overhauled NIL, it's no more NIL. This was a mistake. Guess what? The boosters would still be giving kids money. Boosters were always giving kids money. So I think to try and control that, and especially the way the NCAA is trying to do it, whether it would be retroactively punishing teams, I don't think that's going to work at all. And I think it'll be really hard for anyone to get caught for when paying players is technically legal. So I don't think that's going to work. I think it's the portal that would need to change. But again, once you put the toothpaste back in the tube, it is difficult. At the same time, you can adjust the dates in a way where it would make it harder for guys to leave.
Again, this could be an interesting summer in college football.
I got to slide in one more just because I don't know whether I love him or don't like him. And I know he's super one-dimensional. You know, I obviously follow you on Twitter, and I caught the Luka bit. Had you been a fan before the playoffs? Like, is this a thing where you've watched closely? Because you were quick to go to the LeBron comparison in terms of the clutch, and I thought that was interesting because he is a guy that this isn't his first rodeo playing well on the big stage in crunch time, but he did get over the hump.
LeBron time.
So is it validation in your mind, or is it something that you just kind of been seeing this whole time through?
I think that dude has arrived in the sense that, yes, he's now in the Final Four. This is where we anoint superstars, right, in the playoffs when we get this deep. But, I mean, if you were watching those Clippers series of the past year, he was cooking two of the best wing defenders in the NBA. So I think that guy, pretty much from day one, has been on this sort of trajectory. We just needed to see him get here. And particularly, you know, Jalen Brunson's a nice player, but if that's your second guy and he just beats what was the best team in the league for most of the regular season. I think I said this last night on Twitter, I think the best player in the league conversation going forward is going to be Luka Giannis. That's where we are.
Mm. Oh, all right.
Oh my gosh.
Jimmy, we appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That's Jimmy Watkins. Just to add, as part of the whole discussion about the NBA today, after two game sevens and Pat Beverly showing up on Get Up and his love for Chris Paul, this is another quote he used.
I mean, going toe-to-toe.
Quote, ain't nobody worried about Chris Paul when you play the Phoenix Suns. He can't guard anyone. Do you think ESPN lets Pat Beverly leave their building without a signed contract?
Yeah.
When he retires, that he immediately joins ESPN.
Yeah, and just to see him go, he's just not going to relent. I mean, he and Stephen A., he and J.J., we love J.J. Redick, even though J.J. Redick's window has been pretty short. We think we like J.J. Redick. I mean, he's unpolished enough to be interesting, and I think that's going to be his thing. You almost want to see him stay a little rough around the edges.
Well, be honest. That's what Draymond Green's podcast is really good, because that's who he is. He's super honest. All these athletes that are doing shows and podcasts, just be honest. I mean, that's in our business. People like honesty.
Yeah.
And these athletes that are being honest, Pat Beverly hates Chris Paul. And he has let it be known today, and he's not trying to play the game of, oh, you know, yeah, he had a rough game.
He did give Monty a little more coaching credit than I thought he would.
See, and I think in this series, Monty Williams didn't make the proper adjustments, but Monty Williams is still a good coach.
That surprises me.
Yeah, because I think he's still a good coach. Remember what they did in the bubble? Remember he almost got him in.
But Monty Williams, the bulk of his career has not been a great coach. And if there was ever a time to press pause on the fanfare, I thought this series would have been it, because he was outcoached by Kidd, and especially in terms of pushing the right lineup buttons. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Coach Monty is such a good guy. Pat Bev was very reluctant to go in. I thought maybe he would have, because he actually would be validated.
He had a brutal series, and he didn't make adjustments.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
And you can't wake up and go, man, did Jason Kidd have a better series than I did? Because I think Monty Williams is a good coach. Not great, good coach. But in this series, he, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to wrap your arms around the dud that Phoenix had yesterday. It's almost unprecedented to have a team that good on that stage just go,
well, I was
not even close. The game I might have ended up, what was it, 5? They won by 33?
I wasn't even
that close.
I'm telling you.
It was much worse.
I told you what I spent time trying to do yesterday. I'm waiting for you to help me out. Give me some more game sevens. I don't mean duds in championship games. I mean like game sevens, right? I talked, you know, final games of series. I talked Atlanta Braves recently, 2019, NLDS, right? Got smoked. I gave the caveat of the Avs and the Red Wings, when the Red Wings annihilated the Avs in Game 7 and 0-2. But Detroit was the best team in the league.
Yeah.
So they did the tail kicking. And maybe the meltdown in Game 7 with St. Louis in 85. But again, remember, they had the Game 6 thing that they had to get over. Have we ever seen a game seven, a final game in a series, where an egg was laid like that?
And your baseline is you got a 64 win type team that is 8 games cleared of the second best team in your league.
You were a 3-1 fate.
Yeah. Hmm? It's going to be tough to find. It's going to be tough to find. Our quick break. We'll get to Art. We've got Eddie Garcia to join us as well. Talk a little hockey. Sharp Betting in the Morning at 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.